You're listening to In Focus on 107.7 The Wolf. I'm John Dampschroeder. Our guest today, Arizona Governor Doug Ducey, a Toledo native, a graduate of St. John's High School. Joining me on the program is Jim Rush, a classmate and a friend of Governor Ducey's and the person responsible for convincing the governor to make himself available to us for this interview. Governor, there's an old saying, you can take the boy out of Toledo, but you can't take the Toledo out of the boy. Is that true in your case? And if so, how has your Toledo upbringing shaped your service in Arizona?
Well, John, I think that's absolutely true. At least it has been in my case. I want to thank you for having me on the show. I want to thank Jim Rush for inviting me on the show. I was born in Toledo, Ohio. That's where I was raised. I met Jim Rush on my first day of high school at St. John's, and I think a Midwestern, Middle American upbringing shaped my values and direction. I moved out to Arizona when I was 18 years old after graduation, and that mindset was embraced here as well. 70% of the people that live in the state of Arizona were born somewhere else. So in many ways, we've been the Midwest's favorite suburb. We've got a lot of people that have been coming here, and I think they like that type of approach to government and personal dealings as well.
Doug, can you tell me about some of the jobs that you had around Toledo growing up? I think I remember picking you up at Bob Evans, and you would always kind of have a Huck Finn smile on your face when you walked out with your tips, and you know your chums, including myself, were lollygagging, and you walked into the car with hard-earned money and kind of took pride in your work. What other places do you remember where you were making your spurs, so to speak?
Good memory, Jim. That was my first paycheck job was at Bob Evans. I worked there as a busboy. I worked at the Oak and Bucket as a busboy as well. And then I had odd jobs like so many of us did in the summer, mowing lawns and you know, shoveling snow in the winter. But I did learn a lot at Bob Evans. Great company. It's still, I think, a great place to eat. Every time I come to the Midwest, I visit there. I don't know why they aren't Bob Evans out west. And I was actually just back in Toledo. I come back every couple of years. My dad, on his side of the family, we have a family reunion. I was only in for one day, but I was back there. Well, actually went to my childhood home, 2415 Verdan Avenue. I was there with my brother, and we went to my grandmother's house on Fairfield and Lasky as well. And the sweet lady that bought the house from my grandmother 40-some years ago still lives in it, and she let my brother and I in the door at 10 a.m. on a Sunday morning, and we got to take a nice stroll down memory lane. So it's always great to come back home. It still feels like home, even though I left a long time ago.
Wonderful. Doug, you, Mike Ducey, Toledo businessman, adopted you, and he was a standout tennis player. Is that correct?
He was not only a great tennis player, but a great athlete. I actually had breakfast with Mike and Pat Ducey on the Main in Sylvania before I headed up to Detroit to fly to my now home, Arizona. So it's been great to be able to keep in touch with friends like you, Jim, who I've known since I was 13 years old, and of course Mike Ducey, and you mentioned my dad, and my brother. So it's great to come back, especially in the summertime.
Super. And Mike Ducey was part of a championship team in University of Toledo. I believe he's in the Hall of Fame. Is that correct?
He's a Hall of Famer. His picture's all over the wall as you go to University of Toledo, and I hear he still has a lot of game left.
Super.
You know, Governor, with your economic growth currently outpacing Texas, Florida, California, with Maricopa County being the fastest-growing county of any large county in the country, Arizona in 2020 is a lot like Toledo, or all of Ohio, for that matter, was in 1920. Ohio was so prosperous and powerful in America of 1920 that it was a Republican senator from Ohio that defeated the Democratic governor of Ohio to win the presidency of the United States. And it's been kind of a long, slow decline for Ohio since those days. What are you doing to ensure that Arizona's prosperity is more enduring?
Well, thanks, John. You've got your facts right, and we just had some breaking news today. Believe it or not, Arizona is the fastest-growing state in the country right now. Maricopa County is the fastest-growing county in the nation, and that's 3 years running. And Phoenix this past year was the fastest-growing city in the nation. And this is not on a small base. If you take the metropolitan area of Phoenix, it's 4.8 million people. It's larger than 26 other American states. I used to say in the ice cream business that people vote with their dollars. In the game of states, people vote with their feet. Arizona's winning. It's not something that I take for granted in any way. I think it's a result of the great people that we have in the state of Arizona, the hardworking employees, and the entrepreneurs and innovators that are opening businesses every day in our state. I know it's something that can be lost. I often tell the story here that when I was born in 1964, Detroit, Michigan was the most prosperous city in the country, and when I fly back to Toledo, that's where I land before I drive south into Ohio, and Detroit is unrecognizable to the powerhouse that it was in 64. I think that a lot of that is a result of bad public policy and poor leadership, and my commitment to people in Arizona is that's not going to happen on my watch.
You know, Governor, you can't listen to the radio in Ohio for more than 10 minutes without hearing a commercial for Arizona State University, your alma mater, and without doubt, one of the most innovative and aggressive universities in the entire nation. How important is having ASU following a high growth plan to driving the entire state's success?
I'd also like to point out that Arizona State University defeated the University of Michigan in the 1986 Rose Bowl, when Jim Harbaugh was the quarterback for University of Michigan. So Ohio and Arizona have been kicking Jim Harbaugh's ass since he was in college, and it's something that I still have fond memories of. But ASU was named the most innovative university 5 years running. It has been a force multiplier for the state of Arizona. Michael Crow is probably the best university president or among the best university presidents in the nation. He's been a transformational leader, not just in higher education, but for the state of Arizona. And the first time ASU was named the most innovative university in the nation, I was actually in Cambridge, Massachusetts, on stage with the governor of Massachusetts. And I took great pride in turning to Charlie Baker and congratulating MIT on their second place finish to the mighty Sun Devils of Arizona State.
That's wonderful, Doug. Doug, could I just dovetail on that question? What drew you to Arizona State University besides the fact that you probably had to go there to meet your beautiful and talented wife, Angela? What other drivers, and that's a shout out to Angela, the better half of the
You're good. You're smooth, Jim.
Yeah, thanks.
You're smooth, and that was nice of you to highlight that. But I would say you knew my family situation and that my mom moved west my senior year, and it was really Mr. Carl Egging at St. John's pointed to a map, Tempe, Arizona. He said, school's affordable out there, and there's a lot of opportunity. I was in a position where I was going to have to pay for my own college. I don't think I was that happy about it at the time, but it really turned out to be a big difference maker in my life, and it was a great chapter. I was able to keep all my good friends in Ohio, came back and spent some Christmases at your house, if I remember right, during breaks, and then have a whole new world out west as well.
Sure. One of your first jobs was working for the McCain family when you arrived in Tempe. Is that correct? And I believe you and the late Senator McCain had a pretty wonderful relationship. Is that correct, Doug?
Well, that was later in life. I was fortunate enough to get to know Senator McCain later as I entered public life. I paid my way through school at the local Anheuser-Busch distributorship, which was called Hensley & Company. And Jim Hensley was a giant in Arizona. He was a World War II fighter pilot, came back from the war. He was selling Budweiser and Falstaff off the back of a pickup truck as Arizona was just a new and young state. And the legend has it that Falstaff called him and said, we don't allow you to sell other brands. You can only sell Falstaff, so you have to pick Falstaff or Budweiser. And Jim Hensley said, that's easy. I picked Budweiser. And he became the largest Anheuser-Busch franchisee in the nation. And they had jobs in those days called college reps, paid $450 a month and $50 cash every Monday. I was hired when I was 19 years old, was when the age that you were legally able to be hired. I had that job all 4 years I was in school. Cindy Hensley was his daughter. John McCain married Cindy Hensley, ran for Congress in 1986. I didn't know Cindy or Senator McCain until later when I built my company Cold Stone Creamery and then ran for office. And I do now enjoy a wonderful relationship with Cindy and the entire McCain family. And like I said, was fortunate enough to get to know Senator McCain, and he was very helpful to me as well. I'm forever grateful.
You know, Cindy McCain's making a lot of news today, in fact, indicating that Arizona is subject to going Democrat in 2020 because the Republican Party under Trump has changed so much. What's your take on that assessment?
Well, Cindy's always going to have her opinion on what's happening in Arizona, and it's an educated opinion. I mean, not only was she born and raised here, she was married to a giant in our state's history, a war hero, a Republican nominee for president of the United States. And Arizona is changing. I think in many ways it's changing for the better. Whenever you have this many people coming to the state, we enjoy many Midwesterners who relocate to Arizona. We also have, you know, a lot of Californians that leave California. Sometimes they forget why they left California. What we want to make certain is that they don't bring California-style politics or ideas to Arizona or to the Valley of the Sun. So that's been a challenge, but the state's really proud of its history. I mean, giants not only like John McCain, but Barry Goldwater and Sandra Day O'Connor have been part of Arizona's background, texture, and reputation, and that's the spirit that I want to move the state forward in.
Doug, I'm going to bring it back to old home week, so to speak. As CEO of Arizona, do Toledo stories or Toledo, Northwest Ohio connectivity come up on occasion? I mean, for example, First Solar is one of the top 35 employers of the state of Arizona, and that technology was pioneered in Perrysburg, Ohio, and First Solar obviously is headquartered in Phoenix, I believe. On your day-to-day life, do you ever get to interject that, you know, you're a son of the Great Lakes, or, you know, do you have any stories that you can tell when people yell out OHIO to you or anything like that?
Well, sure. It happens every day. I mean, of course, the Buckeyes have a national footprint and alumni. There are fans everywhere. And a small world story, Urban Meyer's first signing as head coach of the Buckeyes was actually my godson, number 90, Tommy Shutt, who played there for 4 years, started as a freshman on the D-line, won the national championship. It's my only regret about running for governor. The college football playoff was on the day I was inaugurated, and they defeated Alabama, and then the national championship against Oregon was on my first state of the state, so I had to watch both of those on TV, but I was able to watch Tommy and the Buckeyes defeat Notre Dame here at in the Fiesta Bowl, and also see Tommy play in the Army All-American game. So those types of stories, there's so many folks from the Midwest in Arizona, so I get to tell a lot of the Ohio stories, and whenever I meet anybody from Michigan, I let them know that my dog's named Woody, and it's not after that cartoon character.
Super.
You know, sometimes you have a better perspective from afar than when you're able to take something for granted As the governor of a desert state, give our listeners your perspective, Governor, on the value of clean, fresh water that we have here in Lake Erie.
Well, you don't know how lucky you are. I mean, one thing Arizona's been very good at doing is water. I talked earlier in the interview about the growth that we're experiencing in Arizona, and that is really happening in the middle of a desert. So we've had to have augmentation and innovation around water, some generational projects like the Roosevelt Dam and the Hoover Dam and the Central Arizona Project. But part of that is stewardship and being responsible going forward. I can always tell when I come back to Toledo or anywhere in Ohio just by the water pressure in the shower and how I see people washing their cars with the hose just continuing to run, that water's not as much of a concern in the Midwest as it is here in the Rocky Mountain West. But it's something that we've planned ahead for, and it's the invaluable resource for any state or economic growth. And Ohio, of course, has it in the force multiplier perspective.
Doug, just shifting gears a little bit back to your private sector career, you were the CEO of Cold Stone Creamery. Can you tell me a little bit about how you made that successful, where it started from as far as number of employees, locations, countries, etc.?
Sure.
And then the follow-up question to that, Doug, is when you ran for state treasurer and got into public service, was that eye-opening, and how so? Compare and contrast your private sector CEO activities and then your first foray into politics.
Sure. Cold Stone Creamery was founded in Tempe, Arizona, same city as Arizona State. So I think there's some beauty in that. We grew Cold Stone Creamery to 1,440 stores operating in all 50 states. I sold Cold Stone in 2007. Today it operates in 31 countries around the world. Our vision was to have Cold Stone Creamery as the ultimate ice cream experience. Our goal was to have 1,000 profitable stores operating by December 31st of 2004. We were able to exceed that. Cold Stone continues to grow and make people happy around the country and around the world. It's something I'm very proud of. I always say that you get a lot of undeserved popularity when you're selling ice cream for a living. That all goes away when you balance your first budget. And Jim knows I was not involved in politics. In fact, I'd never been to Washington, D.C. After I sold Cold Stone, I was 44. I went on an educational trip to D.C. and kind of got the bug that I wanted to get involved in public policy. Came back and visited with Senator John Kyle. He was very good to me. He asked me a direct question if I had a executive personality or a legislative personality. I knew the answer right away that it was executive. He said, don't consider running for Congress. You should run for governor. There was no open seat for governor, but by coincidence, about 3 months later, the sitting treasurer decided to challenge the sitting governor and open the treasurer position. That's an executive level of position, third in line to the governor. I made the decision to throw my hat in the ring there. I learned a lot. I studied finance in college. I was able to not only figure out how to navigate an election, I learned a lot about public policy, the state budget. You're really the chief financial officer of the state. And 4 years later, we had the first open seat for governor in 12 years. And I threw my hat in the ring. It was a very tough, competitive and contested primary. But here I am in the first year of my second term as governor and really enjoying being the chief executive in Arizona.
You know, Governor, among the nation's governors, you are noted to be personally encouraging of disruptive technologies being established in Arizona. Why do you think that's so important?
Well, John, I'm proud of that reputation for the state. I think as an entrepreneur, I just understand that instinctively. I don't know what's going to happen next, but I know that things are changing, and I always get a kick out of it this time of year when politicians start talking about all the jobs that they're going to create, because any business person knows that politicians don't create jobs. It's entrepreneurs and risk takers that create jobs. But what a governor can do is create the environment in which jobs are created. And because we are in such a fast-growing, fast-changing economy, the internet, cyber, digital, the cloud, augmented intelligence, all this is coming, autonomous vehicles, et cetera. I wanted to be a place where those types of entrepreneurs felt comfortable. They knew that they were not going to have the rug pulled out from underneath them. I'm not going to have bureaucrats standing in their way. I'm always going to wake up every day and be focused on public health and public safety first. But if I can have a booming, growing economy, that takes care of so many of the other issues that I have to deal with as governor in terms of helping the most vulnerable, making sure we have a social safety net, and that we have ample funds for K-12 education and our hardworking teachers.
Doug, I did a little homework, and I learned the five C's of Arizona's economy are cattle, copper, citrus, cotton, and climate. Is this still the case? And if you could take a sixth and seventh economic driver, it doesn't have to be a C, you know, would it be aerospace? Or could you shed some light on what you just had mentioned about key drivers in the economy?
Sure. The five C's are still very much in play, and we're very proud of that rock-solid foundation, not only that we have a wonderful place to live, but the agricultural heritage that we have in Arizona. I think you could add to that construction. You could add computers to that. And you could also add what you mentioned in terms of Arizona really is a place in terms of aviation and aerospace. Today, we can brag that we have more manufacturing jobs in the state of Arizona than we have construction jobs. So we have diversified this economy. We've made it a place that isn't only attractive to live, but it's a great place to scale a business. We've got supply chain and distribution coming to the state, and it's really wide open. We've punched through 7 million in terms of population, but housing is still affordable. Neighborhoods are still stay safe, and schools are still have openings for kids to go in and get a great education.
You know, Governor, I spent a month in Arizona watching spring training baseball a couple years ago. The Indians and Reds share a facility in Goodyear, as you know, and there were thousands of Ohioans there, but there were tens of thousands of other teams' fans all camped out in Metro Phoenix. Does this bring you business beyond travel and tourism dollars? Do you win economic development site decisions because of such a good magnet of spring training?
There's no doubt about it. We have the Cactus League here, so 16 teams in the greater Phoenix area. You can see any one of these teams play several times a day. Will Ferrell came out and I think played 9 innings in 9 different ballparks and did an HBO special 3 years ago. So the Reds are out here, the Giants, Diamondbacks, Colorado Rockies, Cleveland Indians, Oakland A's, California Angels, and others. So people enjoy that. I think that is really our best time of year. If you come out for the Phoenix Open, which kicks off in late January, then spring training kicks in, the great golf courses. We have a perfect winter season out here, and spring training is a treat. So I love to go to the games. So do my boys. We use those games for economic development. We bring a lot of business leaders and influencers and decision makers out here. And it's the same with the Phoenix Open. It's always the week before the Super Bowl. We were fortunate enough to host the Super Bowl. It was the pre-party in 2015, and we've won the Super Bowl back to the state in 2023, and it's the same thing with the NCAA Final Four men's basketball tournament. We had that in 2017, and that's going to be back in 2024. So we've got a lot in the pipeline. It's a great place to entertain and to be outside and to enjoy that lifestyle, and baseball's a big part of that. Both Arizona State Sun Devils and the U of A Wildcats are recent national champion winners in men's baseball and women's softball.
You have always surrounded yourself with winners, Doug. Could I ask, now you are on your second term, you're going to be term limited, and everyone around here and probably around the country wants to know what's next, Doug.
Well, what's next is the 2020 legislative session in Arizona. I've really got my hands full. I'm 100% focused on the governor's job. I've got 3 years and 4 months left. I think it's 1,194 days. I'm excited to work each and every one of those days. I am a planner and a goal setter, but I think at this point in time, the best thing I can do is just focus on what I'm doing. I think a mistake is to take your foot off the gas or get distracted. I came into office 5 years ago, Jim, and we had a $1 billion deficit. Today, we not only have a balanced budget, but a $1 billion surplus in our rainy day fund. So there's a lot of opportunity. I brag on the growth that we have in Arizona. People are coming here because it's a great quality of life, but that means that you have to think ahead and plan ahead and make sure that that growth is responsible. So I have my hands full with that, and that really is my focus. And I think when you do a good job at the work that's on your desk, oftentimes there's other opportunities that come from that. But my commitment is to being the governor of Arizona for the remainder of my term, and that's till I think January 5th, 2023.
Well, Governor, we're very appreciative of a very good interview that will be helpful to all Ohioans who hear this. Economic development is such an important activity, and you're a national leader. And we thank you for making yourself available. And I know Jim wants to wrap the show.
Doug, I'm just going to say from all the friends and family out here that you done good, Doug. I'm going to give you one closing question. If you came to Toledo, do you have any must-have, maybe a JoJo's Pizza, Rudy Hot Dog, Gus Nancy steak, anything stand out to you?
Well, I'd say all of the above. I do make a point to go to Mancy's Steakhouse or Mancy's Italian whenever I get back home. Of course, Tony Paco's and the Toledo Mud Hens. And my mom's favorite store is still Sofo's.
Oh, yeah.
So, listen, I want to say to both John and to you, Jim, thanks for having me. Thanks for the walk down memory lane, and thanks for making it fun. And I'll give you a heads up. I think our 40-year reunion is coming up here soon, and you missed the last one, Jim. I was there, and you didn't come by. Jim Wheeler was on guitar and had his band there, so why don't you mark that date on your calendar, but I'll see you before then.
Roger that.
Thanks again,
guys. Okay, appreciate it.